Good morning. Welcome to Plevenet Community Bible Church. What a beautiful morning it is to worship God. Amen? All right, turn with me in your hymn books to hymn 192. And we're going to sing together, "Because He Lives." 192.
God sent His Son, they called Him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because He I can face tomorrow, because He lives. All fear is gone, because I know He holds a future, and life is worth a living just because He lives. How sweet to hold newborn baby and feel the pride and joy He gives. But greater still, the calm assurance this child can face uncertain days, because He lives. Because He lives, I can face
Let's open with prayer this morning. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this beautiful day. Lord, we're thankful that we can celebrate that You live. And as we celebrate Easter here last week, the resurrection of Your Son, Lord, we're just thankful for what You've done. We're thankful for this place that we come worship, and we pray You'd open our hearts and minds to Your Word today. We pray this in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. As you guys obviously can tell, Pastor David is not here this morning. He is plagued with disease and pestilence this morning, so he's won't be joining us today. But and I probably shouldn't have said that. Hope you're watching, PD. Kent Holcomb's with us today. He's going to share us a message this morning, which will be great to hear. And we look forward to that. So the for announcements, there is no evening Bible study tonight, obviously. So don't plan on coming. Also, coming up this week, there's Joy Bible Club on Wednesday, along with the Board of Trustees meeting Wednesday night. On Thursday, there'll be a Board of Trustees meeting, not trustees, Board of Missions meeting Thursday night. And on Saturday, there'll be a youth night here at the church. As you guys probably got on the prayer chain, Noelle had their baby Friday night, and Clayton said they were home, and everybody's doing fine. So that's definitely a praise there. We definitely keep in prayer as they transition. This is going to be a big transition in their life here with a newborn. So we can also continue to pray those who are struggling with health issues. We're thankful, too, that Ron's made it back to Bueller, and Bart's doing well after his surgery. But we can continue to pray for those that are struggling with their health issues and can't be here and would like to be. So with that, we'll have our missionary mailbox.
And the Sanses, Jonas and Lisa, send another thank you. Dear friends at Plevna Community Bible Church, thank you for the invite to join you on March 17 for a fun time of fellowship. Thank you for caring for us so well. We enjoy our time with you. Thank you for the kind send-off and financial blessings. And I think it was $359. We were able to share quickly that evening. We almost made off with Pastor's cat, but it finally decided it would be happier there. So I don't know how far they went, but they realized. We are grateful to God for your friendship and partnership. May God bless you for your kindness. And she gave some Spanish greeting there. With love, Jonas and Lisa. And for Missionary of the Week is Colin and Pat Sylvester in South Africa. And he just gives kind of a rundown of the since the first of the year. But at Christmas time, with 10 people, they invited for a Christmas dinner. What was so wonderful, too, though, is that one person whom we invited said, "But your home is too small. Let's have it at my home, just around the corner." And the workload was shared, which was a great help to Pat and a great relief to me. Pat was busy taking old people, older than they are, out for coffee or lunch while I had to visit the dentist and optician. So he kind of gives details that's happening for him. But we also had duties at church. Pat was the pianist on two occasions, and we were also on the door duty, welcoming many holiday visitors, because at the holiday time, it's summer there, and people are at the beach, and there's many people on the roads, and the roads are crowded and dangerous, and so the locals pretty much stay home. And we also made a trip to Montego to visit a retired pastor friend for fellowship and advice. A short visit, but the fellowship and discussions were a great blessing. Our real joy was that the Good News Club started up, and our weekly preparation class with Charity also began again. Charity has had 3 Good News Clubs, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. She has also started her own self-employment program, as she is a very accomplished seamstress. Charity makes clothing, lovely wedding dresses, curtains, comforters, cushions, and more to order. Myra and Karen? She doesn't have room for her machines and space to work at home. Their little home is far too small, and she has been given a room in an apartment of a friend until the end of April. So please pray urgently for suitable accommodation, a home for the family and her work, or even just for her home industry. Thank you. And some other prayerful needs that we've shared before is electricity shortages that they have, even up to 11 hours a day sometimes, car problems, and he's finally getting maybe to the head office so they can get it resolved, computer problems. He upgraded from Windows 10 to 11, and it seems to have been a mistake. But he's trusting a helper to help him through that. And prayer for wisdom and patience for both of them as they go through this. But Pat is enjoying playing the piano in Sunday worship service once a month or more, and she spends very much preparation time in doing that so that they can really worship and praise the Lord. Visiting and witnessing to the elderly is also part of her ministry. So a verse that he gave, God is still on the throne, and he will remember his own. Though trials may press us and burdens distress us, he never will leave us alone. I'm sure we can all say amen to that truth. Pat and Colin Sylvester.
Let's pray this morning for our missionaries. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this opportunity that we have to lift up our missionaries to you. Lord, we're thankful for the work you're doing in their lives. We're thankful, too, for the hearing what you're doing. And as we got to spend some time with the Sanzas here a few weeks ago, we're thankful for their ministry with Crew and the blessing to hear how you're using them through that organization. Lord, we thank you for Pat and Colin as you use them and where they're at, Lord. We're grateful that they have the heart to minister to the elderly, the people that they're in contact with. And Lord, we just pray that you would continue to open the doors to allow them to do that, to give them opportunities to travel and meet that pastor and encourage him. Lord, we're thankful for the Good News Clubs, too, how you're using that in that region to bring your message. Lord, we're thankful that you are providing them wisdom and patience, and we continue to ask that you do that in their lives as they minister and in their day-to-day activities and the people they come in contact with. And Lord, we just pray that you just bless them and bless all of our missionaries. And we just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our scripture reading this morning will be taken from Genesis chapter 6, and I'd like to read verses 1 through 8. Genesis chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. And they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I've created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repented me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. At this time, we'll take our morning offering. So if the ushers would come forward. Bow with me in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, we come to you today and just say thank you. You've blessed us in so many different ways. And as we've already said, we're always encouraged when we remember the empty tomb and the resurrection as we did last week, and the victory that we have then and the hope that that gives us. You've blessed us certainly in many ways. We thank you, Lord, for the material things that you blessed us with. And it's our opportunity to give some back with what you've given to us. We're grateful, Lord, because right now, here, we have this opportunity to worship you in giving. By giving, we are acknowledging that you are the one who's given it all to us, and we gladly give back in return. So we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, this time of worship, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, if you would please turn with me in your black folders to number 20. We will sing Beneath the Cross. Black folder number 20. Song will be in our hymn books, hymn 582, The Church in the Wildwood. Please stand with us as we sing 582.
my childhood as the little brown church in the vale. Oh, come, 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 come to the church in the wildwood. Oh, come to the church in the vale. No spot is so dear to my childhood as the little brown church in the vale. Oh, come to the church in the wildwood, to the trees where the wildflowers bloom, where the parting hymn will be chanted, we will weep by the side of the tomb. Come to the church in the wildwood, oh, come to the church in the vale. No spot is so dear to my childhood as a little brown church in the vale. How sweet on a clear Sabbath morning to listen to the clear ringing bell. Its tones still sweetly are calling, oh, come to the church in the vale. Come to the church in the wildwood, oh, come to the church in the vale. No spot is so dear to my childhood as a little brown church in the vale. From the church in the valley by the wildwood, when day fades away into night, I would fain from the spot of my childhood wing my way to the mansions of light. Come to the church in the wildwood, oh, come to the church in the vale. No spot is so dear to my childhood as a little brown church in the vale.
Please be seated.
We'll welcome Kent up here this morning to share with us what he has, God's placed on his heart. So come on up, Kent.
Oh, Junior Church is dismissed. Yes, thank you.
Take your Bibles, please, this morning and turn with me to the book of James, James chapter 5. And I want to read a passage of Scripture here in just a moment. I want to say it's my great privilege to be here sharing the Word of God this morning. Obviously, I had not planned on that. I came out Monday to visit Mom and was asked yesterday if I could preach, and I'm glad to do it. We just need to pray for Pastor David that he is healed from this great pestilence. And first time I've heard that word to describe something physical, but we'll see how it goes. We'll pray for him. I have an announcement that I've been asked to share, and that is this. Thank you to everyone who has signed up to help with VBS. If you have signed up to help, we will be having a meeting after church on Sunday, April 21st. Teachers, you'll be getting your material soon. And again, that is Sunday, April the 21st. I also want to thank you for your graciousness. And what I mean by that is obviously I didn't bring any church clothes with me. And so this is the best I have. I've always wanted to preach in my Hoka running shoes, and I'm doing that today. And I want to tell you, they're a lot better than dress shoes. So we'll see if I can do that in the future. But I do thank you. I knew you would accept that. And I'm just grateful to be able to share the Word of God with you. One other thing before I share the Scripture, and that is this sermon's a work in progress. I was working on it during the week. And you have a bulletin that I happen to bring with me. You also have a bulletin insert that I happen to bring with me. And if you look at that, you'll see at the bottom, it was not finished. I crossed out one word, inserted another one, didn't get that changed. It's all going to come up in the sermon. But you might wonder, what is that? Why did that happen that way? It's just because it was a work in progress. And that's what this is. James chapter 5. I'd like to start reading in verse 10. So if you read along in your own Bibles or just listen to me as I read. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today that we can study your word and pray that you would use it in each one of our lives so that, Lord, we can be those who are growing spiritually, honor you, and we just pray your great work in that way today. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. This morning I'd like to study with you one word out of the scripture. It's a word that we need to understand and apply in our lives so that we will be those who are growing spiritually and who are being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And so I want to share about this today by relating a story that I read from a Christian devotional book that God really used to show me the importance of this one word, the word that I'll share with you later. But here's the story. At the 1983 Australian Ultramarathon, a foot race of 544 grueling miles from Sydney to Melbourne, an odd competitor showed up. Everyone else was a highly trained, commercially sponsored professional. But Cliff Young was a 61-year-old farmer. Unlike the others who were clad in professional running shoes and cool athletic gear with sponsored logos, Cliff wore a loose white shirt flopping over baggy overalls. He had rubber galoshes over his boots and a white baseball cap hung with sun-screening flaps. The officials laughed, thinking they were being set up for a joke. But Cliff was serious. He came to run, and he was ready. Uncertainty about Cliff continued as the runners lined up to start the race. Was this old man really going to compete against young, healthy, trained athletes? Some still thought it was a joke. Others thought him a little naive or maybe a little bit deranged. Some jeered, and some even shouted insults. When the starting gun fired, the runners took off. And the crowd laughed at the contrast between the young contestant's disciplined strides and Cliff's odd gaited shuffle. But 5 days, 15 hours, and 4 minutes later, no one was laughing. Cliff Young crossed the Melbourne finish line almost 10 hours ahead of the second place runner. The astounded press descended on him en masse. How did this aging farmer accomplish such a spectacular run? Well, two facts emerged. First, as a shepherd too poor to own a horse, Cliff often herded entire herds of sheep alone, sometimes running day and night with the herds. Second, he didn't realize. Nobody told him that runners in the ultramarathon stopped at night to rest. He ran the entire distance without sleeping. Cliff Young demonstrated a primary attribute required with any long-distance race, the attribute of perseverance, the word we're going to study today, a word that is found more often in Scripture than I ever realized until doing studying for this message. Perseverance is one of the character qualities that God says we need to develop in our life if we are to grow spiritually and to be used of Him. Perseverance is found in a number of scriptures that we're going to look at today. One I want to read right now. 2 Peter 1:5 through 6 says this: add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance. The word perseverance literally means to bear up under. It describes someone who remains steadfast in the face of severe trials, obstacles, and suffering. Now, in some translations, The word perseverance appears as patience. But the word perseverance is a much more meaningful word. Patience is a word that often describes simply waiting. It's a much more passive word. Waiting in a doctor's office or waiting in line, waiting to get into some event. You sit there or you stand there doing nothing until something else happens, and that's not perseverance. It's not the word perseverance found in Scripture. That word is much different. Perseverance in Scripture describes remaining steadfast but making progress, going forward, continuing to do what we're supposed to do as Christians while we wait on God to work. Perseverance is a never-give-up attitude of commitment to move forward when everything is conspiring to hold us back. Just think of the English word itself, persevere. The prefix, P-E-R, conveys the idea of through. So perseverance is the ability to go through a severe time. Perseverance turns ordeals into opportunities. It gives us the opportunity to finish what we have begun, to outlast pain, to outlast sorrow, to strive until we accomplish things that are difficult, and to demonstrate God's grace in all the seasons of life, especially during the times of severe trial and trouble and tragedy. So this morning I want to study this word, because it's found, like I said, in many passages, and God says we've got to be those who understand it and practice it so that we can be growing spiritually and honor our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So I want to share with you several very important truths concerning perseverance. The first is this: the power of persevering. The power of persevering. Perseverance produces trust. In James 5, verse 11, the scripture that I read this morning, it says this: you have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. Job was a man who experienced a series of mind-numbing disasters. Satan destroyed his wealth, his servants, and his children, all in a single day. And then Satan struck Job with a painful and disfiguring disease. He had boils from the top of his head, covered his body to the bottom of his feet. And despite all of this, Job never stopped trusting God. Job's faith remained firm. He never gave up. And we find that statement in Job 13, verse 15, where Job said, speaking of God, "Though he slay me, yet I will trust in him." What a statement. You know, even if God kills me, I am going to continue to trust in him. Now, from a human perspective, Job had every reason not to trust God. But his faith did not waver. His faith remained steadfast. He persevered. And it was because of his faith. How would you define faith? Let me give you a very simple definition. Faith means to have trust and confidence in someone. To trust someone. To have confidence in someone. And Job had trust and confidence in Almighty God. And because of that, he persevered through his faith. Now, I'd like for you to think with me for just a moment about the ministry of Jesus Christ. What did Jesus commend in people? Just think about that for a minute. What did Jesus commend? Did you ever hear him say to one of the disciples, "Hey, great sermon you preached," or "Good job healing those people," or "Way to go casting out those demons"? He didn't say anything like that. Not even close. In Luke 10, 17, we read of where 70 disciples, Jesus had sent out 70 by two, and they come back and they give him a report. And in Luke 10, 17, it says, "Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, 'Lord, even the demons are subject to us through your name.' And he said unto them, 'Do not rejoice in that, but rejoice rather that your names are written in heaven.'" Now, there's a lot of application we can make from that last statement, but here's what I want to make, and that is this: Jesus is saying to them, rejoice in the fact that you had faith in me and you're going to heaven when you die. Rejoice in that. Jesus was one who commended faith. That's what he commended in other people. There are two times in Scripture where Jesus said that someone had great faith. Only two times. And by the way, both times it was in regards to Gentiles. And I'm sure you remember. Remember the Roman centurion that sent someone to find Jesus? He'd heard about Jesus Christ. He believed in Jesus Christ. And he sent someone to find Jesus because he had a servant that was dying. And he said, when you find Jesus, tell him, just say the word. You don't even have to come. Just say the word because I'm a man under authority. I know how to obey. Just say the word. And Jesus heard that statement from this person sent by the centurion. And Jesus said, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And before that statement, it said that he marveled. He marveled at the faith of this Roman centurion. And the scripture says that at that very moment, his servant was healed. The other Gentile was the Canaanite woman in Matthew chapter 15 who came to Jesus because she had a daughter that was demon-possessed. And Jesus had a conversation with her. You can go back and read it. It's fascinating. Jesus said this, O woman, great is your faith. He commended their faith. Just this morning, I was reading in Mark chapter 2. This passage came to mind. And you all know it. Remember the time that Jesus is teaching and preaching in a house? And there's a huge crowd. Nobody can get in the house. And I can just imagine everybody's lined up outside. And there are four men who have a friend who cannot walk. And they're bringing him out on a stretcher. And they try and get inside just to bring him before Jesus. And nobody will let him in. They can't get in because of the crowd. So what do they do? I don't know who thought about this. In heaven, I'm going to see if I can have a conversation about it. Because it's amazing. What they do, they go up on the roof. And they tear the roof up. And they lower their friend down in front of Jesus. And it says, Jesus seeing their, T-H-E-I-R, their faith, looked at the paralytic and said, your sins are forgiven you. The faith of those four, the faith of the paralytic. And then another great study that you can do sometime. It's just amazing. All the times Jesus would do a miracle, heal somebody, work in somebody's life, and he would say things like, your faith has made you whole. Job was one who persevered because he would continue to trust God. He was one who had faith in the Lord, and God has called us to do the same. Because the power of persevering is discovered as we continue to trust God no matter what we're experiencing. And I want to emphasize that because maybe this morning you hear this and you think, I just can't do it. I don't know how I can trust God. I don't have any reason to trust God. And there are times we struggle with that in our own flesh. And that's why I provided a bulletin insert that you can take home if you so desire. Stick it on your fridge or on the wall or on a door or put it in your car or in your Bible. And just remind yourself of reasons why we can have faith in God. Why we should trust God. And let me just go through them very quickly. First of all, because of his presence. In Hebrews 13:5, it says that he will never leave us nor forsake us. I should have put the rest of the verse in there. So that we might boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Because of his presence. Then because of his power, and I put Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is alive, it's powerful, and it works in our lives. And then because of his promises, 2 Peter 1 verse 4 says that we have been given exceeding great and precious promises. Did you know the scripture says that God cannot lie? He can't, because he's God. He will not, he cannot lie. And so when he has given a promise, brethren, he's going to fulfill it. Another reason we should trust God and have faith is because of his providence. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And we all know Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. His providence. He's working in your life. He's working in mine. He's working in this church, every church in this world. He's working behind the scenes in ways we do not know. And because of that, we need to trust him. And then because of his peace, Philippians 4, 6, and 7. God says, don't worry about anything or be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes or surpasses all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. He'll give his peace. And then because of his purpose, that's Romans 8, 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed into the image of his Son and be the firstborn among many brethren, that we become like Jesus Christ. Again, another reason to trust him. And then, because of his provision, that's a word that I substituted instead of perseverance, because of his provision, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, when Paul had prayed three times for God to take away the thorn in the flesh, here's the answer. Paul said, he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. These are all reasons we are to have faith in God. And understand that perseverance produces that as we continue on trusting God, it actually increases our faith. There's a lady by the name of Dina Yohi, who has written a book entitled, You Are Not Alone. And she writes about the pain of dealing with a suicidal, addicted, depressed, and self-harming daughter. And her book has been an enormous help to many worried parents because she's very honest about the prolonged pain of having a child in crisis. One of the hardest things she said is realizing that the journey might not be over quickly. She goes on and says, how I hoped it would. But lowering expectations helped me to be more patient with the process, especially when we experienced setbacks. Well, she found great comfort in repeating a very simple phrase. Maybe this is something you can learn that I can as well and say it when we need to. She says, I can't. God can. I think I'll let him. So much truth in that. I can't. God can. I think I'll let him. It's all a part of helping develop perseverance. Another truth about this is that perseverance produces transformation. Not only trust, but transformation. Let me share with you another passage in Scripture where the word perseverance is used. Romans 5, verses 3 and 4 says, we glory in tribulations. Now, I have to stop right there. Paul's writing that. I haven't attained that yet, but I'm reading this and realizing what I need to do, and that is glory in tribulations. Let me start again. He says, we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. You see, a second force that enters our lives through perseverance involves transforming us. It talks about the word character. Who we are in the inside that comes out the outside as we are living and walking with Jesus Christ. What happens? We become more like Christ. Jesus is seen. Romans 8, 29, that verse I shared just a moment ago. We're to be those who are transformed into his image. And it's all a part of maturity, of growing in Christ. In other words, perseverance is one of the essential ingredients of maturity. Now, here's a secret that I've learned over my lifetime. You don't need to go searching for trials. The world is well stocked with an abundant supply. And if you're here today and you're saying, I'm not going through any trial, just fasten your seatbelt because they'll come. They will. And when those tough circumstances assail you, don't run. Don't hide, don't stop, don't quit. Instead, face them head on, trusting God, obeying his word, that's persevering. Continue to walk with the Lord, be in the word, continue praying, attend church, faithfully serve in the local church, and you know what? You will experience the mercy and compassion of God. And in the process, he will give you strength and character. He will fill your heart with hope. And the end result is this, Jesus Christ will be seen. Jesus Christ will be seen. So no one becomes a true disciple of Christ unless they persevere. That's all under point one. Point two is this: the process for persevering. What do we need to do? First of all, we need to have a scriptural perspective. A scriptural perspective. I want to share with you two verses. 2 Corinthians 4:16 and 17. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And then Romans 8, verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. One very important word that's found in both of those passages. It's the word glory. How would you define that? Well, let me give you a definition that's helped me. Glory means to show forth the presence and the power of God. If we were to pray, Lord, be glorified in my life, or Lord, be glorified in this church, what are we praying? That the presence and the power of Christ will be seen in our lives and what we do and how we live. And it says right here that if we follow the instruction given by God in these passages, God will be glorified now and in eternity. Think of it. Apparently, even in heaven, it's going to be talked about when we trusted God and glorified Him and showed forth His presence and power in our life. Our church in Derby supports a national pastor in Romania named Benny Costia. And Benny's truly a remarkable, remarkable man. He pastors two churches, and he has for years. He also teaches in a seminary. He's very busy helping start new churches. He has preached in a number of countries throughout Europe. He's been to the States a number of times. About 25 or 30 years ago, he actually visited Plevna, and we brought him out here. Weren't able to bring him to church, but I have a picture of him on the outskirts of town by the Plevna sign. And Benny's a dear brother. We pray for him a lot. He's wanted to retire since about 2018. He's been trying to do that. And he has been training two men to pastor the two churches that he pastors. With one of these men, he had worked with them for years. But some things came up in this man's life where he could not be the pastor of that church. And when Benny wrote us about that, you could tell he was devastated. And I forget his exact words, but it was certainly disappointment because he had poured his life into this man for years, and then some things come up where he was not going to take over as pastor. So what did Benny do? He persevered. He sought to find another pastor. God supplied another man. And now he's training that man to take over that church, and then another man to take over the other one, and he's hoped and prayed that he'll be able to retire in 2024. If you run out of things to pray about, pray for Benny that he could do that. He wants to start writing, and he is truly a gifted servant of God. But when I think of him and what he went through in that situation, I thought of perseverance. He didn't give up. He continued to trust God and serve him. And so God has called us to do the same. So we have that scriptural outlook. We're also to have a scriptural priority. In other words, the Word of God has got to be a priority in our life. Brethren, when we get out of the Word of God, it's not a matter of if we're going to fall in sin. It's just a matter of when. And I believe one of the greatest attacks of Satan is to get us out of the Word of God, to get us out of prayer, out of these disciplines that we need to practice in our life. Because like I shared in Hebrews 4:12, the Word of God is alive. It's powerful. It's that which changes our life. It encourages our life. And we've got to be in the Word. The challenge we have is there are times we just don't feel like it. We get tired, or maybe we're depressed or discouraged, or we haven't developed that habit in our life. And those are especially the times that we've got to do it. And we've got to continue to be in the Word. And I was challenged with that when I found a passage that had the word persevere in it. I've read it I don't know how many times. And yet, preaching on this one word, I realized, wow, that word's here? This is out of Ephesians chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. And he's talking about the armor of God we got to put on to fight Satan. Satan's one of our enemies. We fight our own flesh, that's an enemy. We fight the world system, that's a second enemy. Satan's another enemy. He's trying to defeat us and destroy us all the time. And so what does God say to do? He says put on the armor of God. But in verses 17 and 18, there are two offensive weapons. You know, he talks about all the armor, the helmet, and the breastplate, and the shield, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. But he talks about two offensive weapons. He talks about the sword of the Spirit. And what's that? The Word of God. He said, take the sword of the Spirit, and then prayer. And so let me read it to you. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance. There's that word again. That we trust God, have confidence in Him, and because of that we pray. We continue to pray. So have a scriptural priority. Then the third point I want to share with you is the purpose of persevering, and it's simply this: to be like Jesus Christ. The Romans 5, 3-4 passage that I shared with you before, where Paul said, we glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Character talking about simply the life of Jesus in us. And so I thought about Jesus. Did he persevere? Well, of course he did. And let me give you an example. In Luke chapter 9, verse 51 through 56, it says that Jesus set his face like a flint when he walked towards Jerusalem. He was going to Jerusalem. He knew what he was facing. He had been telling his disciples that he would be betrayed, that he would be killed, that he would give his life for you and for me, which he did when he died on the cross and then rose again. And on the way to Jerusalem, he set his face like a flint. In other words, he persevered. He persevered. And because he did, we can do the same today. And when we do, Christ will be seen. Let me share with you someone who is magnifying and showing the life of Christ in their life. This young lady's name is Jessica Long. Jessica Long was orphaned in Siberia as an infant. She was born with fibular hemiphilia. In other words, she did not have ankles, heels, or bones in her feet. But after much prayer, a Christian couple from Baltimore, Maryland, Steve and Beth Long, adopted her when she was 13 months old. A few months later, Jessica's legs were amputated below the knees. So growing up, obviously, she could not do what the other kids did. But she did learn to swim without her prosthetics. And she learned to do that in her grandparents' pool. At age 10, Jessica joined a swim team. At age 12, she won 3 gold medals in the 2004 Paralympic Games in Athens, Greece. Since then, she has competed in 3 more Paralympic Games. Her medal count is up to 13 gold, 6 silver, and 4 bronze. She is one of America's most decorated Olympians. But she gives all the glory to God for what's happened in her life. Here's just part of her testimony. Here's part of it. She said, I was raised the right way, but I still had to come to Christ on my own terms. Eventually, I decided I wanted to give Jesus my whole heart, and it was the best decision that I have ever made. And she goes on to say in her testimony that she realized that God had a plan for her. I mean, it was obvious, even though she was born the way she was and so limited physically, she was adopted by Christian parents who adopted her when she was 13 months old and brought her here and shared the gospel with her. And she realized that God had a plan for her life, and she wanted to glorify God in all that she did after she trusted Christ as Savior. And one thing that's enabled her to do that is perseverance. Being limited the way she was and still is physically means that she has to persevere every day just to get out of bed, to put on the prosthetics, and then learning to swim. She practiced every day, probably hours a day, training, but she did it all for the glory of God, and she has used the opportunity that has been given her from what she's been able to achieve to talk about that it's all the fact of God working in her life. Here's, again, part of her testimony. I now look at my legs and think of all the people I've been able to touch because God made me this way. Embrace who you are. Shine bright and never give up. In reading her testimony, I stopped right there. Those last three words, never give up. I'll summarize that with God's word that he gives in Scripture, persevere. Persevere, which means continue to trust God. Put your confidence in him, obey his word, no matter what you're facing, no matter what you're fighting, no matter what's going on in your life, we've got to persevere. It's a key to our spiritual growth. So we've looked at the power of persevering. It produces trust and transformation. We've looked at the process of persevering. We've got to have a scriptural perspective and a scriptural priority. And the purpose of persevering is to be like Christ. So brethren, let's take heart. Our God, who has given us grace, which is sufficient for every and any need, is one who can allow us to continue to go forward, to keep on keeping on, which, by the way, that's not original with me. That title's original with someone in this church who's here today that was part of that book that was written at, what was it, Greg? The 86. Keep on keeping on. The community of Plevna has done that. The church at Plevna has done that. And God has called all of us to do that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that through your grace and mercy, O God, we can persevere. And we can do this, Lord, so that you be seen. And Lord, we admit and confess that at times this is very hard. Times are difficult. But in reality, it's impossible apart from you. But with you, O God, we can do all things. So God, we give you thanks and pray your continued blessing on these people, on this church. Pastor David, we pray for his healing and help at this time. And we give you grace and thanks, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Is there a final song? Am I supposed to lead this? I see. I just saw this now in the bulletin. Hymn number 446. Let's all stand up. Oh, Jesus, I have promised. Oh, Jesus, I have promised to serve you to the end. Be thou forever near me, my master and my friend. I shall not fear the battle, thou art by my side, nor wander from the pathway, if thou wilt be thy guide. Verse 4. Oh, Jesus, thou hast promised to all who follow thee that where thou art in glory, there shall thy servant be. And Jesus, I have promised to serve thee to the end. Oh, give me grace to follow Heavenly Father, we pray for that grace to follow you because you are our master, our friend, our Lord and Savior. And we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.